Alrighty. This morning's proverb is Proverbs 16:32. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. And this morning's psalm is from Psalm 119:9-16. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your command. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Psalm 119:9-16 from the New Living Translation. And this morning's Bible lesson comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10:19-25. And let me set up the introduction for you here. See, the book of Hebrews is written to compare the old covenant of Judaism with the new covenant of Christianity. The message is similar to the slogan, new and improved. There's nothing inferior about the old covenant with Judaism. It was given by God to his chosen people. And every principle, every rule, every ritual had a meaning. It was a faithful guide for thousands of people for thousands of years. And it was the best offered to man because it had come straight from God. But when Christ came, the best got even better. What was already good was now new and improved. In the old covenant, the priests had to make daily sacrifices to cover the sins of the people. God required that living things die to cover our sins, to remind us of the severity of our sins. But those sacrifices never took away the sins, and they had to be repeated day after day, year after year. But when Christ died on the cross for our sins, his sacrifice took away our sins once and for all. So that brings us to Hebrews 10:19-25, where Paul writes, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So let's look at the main points of this passage. We see in verse 19, we're told that we can enter directly into fellowship with God. And the Greek word translated here boldly, where it says we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place, the Greek word is paresia, meaning with confidence. We don't need to feel ashamed or that we're not good enough to come to church or to worship God or that our sins are too great to be forgiven. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was perfect. Unlike the old sacrifices of the old covenant, it didn't need to be committed over and over. He died once so that we may all live in him, so that we may all come to God without shame or guilt. In verse 20, it says, we can go through the curtain because the curtain has been opened. See, in the temple in Jerusalem, the sanctuary was divided up so that there was an area where the worshipers could go but that was separated from the Holy of Holies, where the Spirit of God was, by a curtain or veil. The Old Testament even describes the curtain, the different colors that were in it, the type of cloth that was used for it, and the size of it. But we're told in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that at the moment of Christ's death, the curtain separating the sanctuary from the Holy of Holies was literally torn down the middle. So Christ, through his death, made it possible for us to have direct fellowship with God. That curtain was torn open by Christ himself. In verse 22 it says, so we can go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Now this is God's promise to us, that we can come to him in his house, trusting in him to accept us as we are and forgive us of our sins. Verse 22 tells us that Christ's blood has made us clean. The blood he shed on the cross washed away our sins. Not just the sins we've committed in the past, but the sins we continue to commit today, and the sins we will commit tomorrow. As 1 John 8:9 tells us, if we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. So we have to recognize that we're all sinners, and anyone who claims otherwise is lying. Those Christians and preachers can often be the worst example of this, who claim they're living such holy lives that they never sin, that they never do anything wrong, are actually showing just how far they're separated from Christ. The true Christian knows he is a sinner, and it is only by Christ's sacrifice that he's forgiven. Verse 22 goes on to say that our bodies have been washed with pure water. And this is why we get baptized. It's a symbolic way of washing away our sins with God's pure water. As the water washes our outside, God's living water cleanses us inside. Verse 23 says, we can trust God to keep his promises. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't need to worry or doubt about our salvation. We have God's promise on this. Mark 16:16 tells us, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. John 10:9, Jesus tells us, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. These are promises directly from God. He won't go back on his promises. We can have complete faith and complete confidence that when we accept Jesus into our hearts, we are indeed truly saved from our sins. Verse 24 tells us, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Now, this is Christianity in action. The great theologian Matthew Henry described it this way: Christians ought to have a tender consideration and concern for one another. They should affectionately consider what their several wants, weaknesses, and temptations are, and they should do this not to reproach one another or to provoke one another to anger, but to love and good works, calling upon themselves and one another to love God and Christ more, to love duty and holiness more, to love their brethren in Christ more, and to do all the good offices of Christian affection, both to the bodies and the souls of each other. It goes on in verse 25 to say, let us not neglect our meeting together, but encourage one another. And this is why it's so important for Christians to come to church and fellowship together. This is the best opportunity we have to gather in true Christian love, not to condemn and judge one another as you find in so many churches, but to encourage one another, to share one another's burdens and hardships, as well as join in offering praise to God for our many blessings. In conclusion, when we have faith in Jesus, when we know that we've truly accepted him as our Savior, we can have confidence in him. Whether you're talking about confidence about going to heaven when we die, or even just confidence of being accepted when we go to church. As an example, try this sometime. When you're in the airport, observe the difference between the passengers who have a confirmed ticket and those who are on standby. You know, standby tickets are only available if there's a cancellation, somebody doesn't show up for their seat. The people with confirmed tickets, you know, they read newspapers or magazines, talk with their friends or family, or maybe even try and catch a nap before the flight. But the folks on standby hang around the ticket counter, and they fret and they pace. You'll probably see them checking the ticket agent several times to see if there's been a cancellation. The difference is caused by the confidence factor. Those with a confirmed ticket know they have a ticket. Those on standby, maybe not. You know, they don't know. The same is true when you watch people as they're going to church. You know, some people are afraid to even step inside a church because they know they're not saved. They know they haven't made themselves right with God by accepting Christ and seeking His forgiveness. So the idea of entering God's church is terrifying to them. I've even had someone say to me, if I walked into church, the place would burn down on the spot. But folks who've accepted Christ are eager to go to church. They know they're welcome in God's house. Let me ask you this. If you knew in 15 minutes you would have to stand in judgment before God and learn your eternal destiny, what would your reaction be? Would you fret and pace like someone on standby? Would you ask yourself, I don't know what God's going to say. You know, will it be welcome home or will it be depart from me? I never knew you. If you have any doubts, then I urge you, don't put it off any longer. Open your heart to Jesus. Accept His sacrifice as a covering of your sins. And then you'll know with full confidence that you're welcome into His presence at any time. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this reading of Your Word and for its message to us today. May it give us strength and comfort, Lord. May it give us confidence and assurance and sure and certain hope, Lord, and our certain knowledge that You have accepted us, that You have forgiven us, and that You welcome us into Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.